Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Spend some time in the country. Live from Ontario and heard around the world. Welcome to In the Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told. Spend some time in the country, now it's time we start the show.
My pleasure now to welcome to the show world-renowned violinist Rosemary Siemens, and she has released her first bluegrass album. It's called Rosemary and the Sweet Sound Revival, 13 amazing tracks, and we're going to play a couple of them on the show here. She just got back from a big trip to Europe where she performed, and soon enough she'll be heading out across Canada doing some more tour dates. My pleasure now to welcome to the show Rosemary Siemens. Hey, Rosemary.
Hey, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure to have you on the show and to introduce you to some listeners of the show who may not know you before, and many of them will, of course. But the album is called Plum Coulee, My Home, and that is named, of course, after your hometown of Plum Coulee, Manitoba. How did you come to, first of all, to name the album after your hometown?
You know, when I decided to do a bluegrass album, I shortly after that, I got a call from my hometown. I live in Vancouver now, but I got a call from Plum Coulee, and they said they wanted to put up a sign in my honor and say Plum Coulee, home of Rosemary Siemens. So then I was thinking, I was like, you know what? I would love to pay tribute to my hometown in return. And so I thought, why not kind of, in this album, I wanted to just kind of talk about all the beautiful things about small town living, and because that's really what made me to what I am today. And I love going home because I think it's just like there's nothing like it. And so it was kind of in giving back to them as they wanted to give to me. So that's really where it started.
What an awesome sign to have at your hometown. I did check it out online. It's very cool, and what an honor. And we're talking a small town here because, if I'm correct, under 1,000 people live there?
You got it. And you know, it's funny because when I decided to do this, I was like, I thought, who can I get to produce? And then I had always heard about this quite famous producer and knew he was from Plum Coulee as well. And so I cold called my producer, Dale Penner, and I said, you know what, I wanted to pay tribute to my hometown. Would you want to produce this album? And he said, I'd love to. And, you know, he produced Nickelback and he got them their US deal, and he's now managing me as well. So the whole project kind of has Plum Coulee as the main centerpiece of it. So it's pretty special.
That is amazing, and we're going to hear some songs from the album. You play a violin from the year 1714, so if we do the math, we're looking at about 302 years old, called Sparkle, which you named. But tell me how you came into possession, because I read a bit about it online, but I'll let you tell the story how this violin became yours.
Yeah, you know, I've lived with a woman, a very special friend in Vancouver, who had kind of been like an angel in my life, really. And she bought this violin for me so that I could play on an amazing instrument. And so this was about 13 years ago now. And I went to Switzerland. She kind of told me the budget, and I went to Switzerland. And the best shop in the world is in Lausanne, where I actually just came from a few days ago. And so I actually went with my teacher at the time, and he helped me pick out the best one that would be best for investment and for playing for my career. And that's how I got my hands on that violin. And, you know, the luthier that we bought it from, he actually said that it almost like for sure played in King Louis XIV's orchestra, which is just so cool to think about all the hands that have touched and played this instrument and the souls it's touched. And I just feel honored to have it, actually. So, and one of the songs on the album is actually about the violin. So
That is amazing to know. As you said, there's that much musical history in that violin and the others who played it before over the many, many years. And you named it Sparkle. Can you give us the reason behind that?
You know, anyone that knows me knows that I love shiny things, and I'm always in bling, and I had to write a song about it on the album, Barefoot
right.
Bling. And I think it started from my grandma, who loved shiny clothes, and my mom is the same, and I'm the same. And so I thought, you know what, and I want the violin to be like a sparkle in people's lives and to have it touch people's lives. And I think that's what music is all about, and that's my goal with it, is to touch and inspire and, you know, just make people feel and hopefully impact their life in a meaningful way.
And you've had a chance to play for a lot of, let's say, famous people over the years, including former U.S. President Jimmy Carter. But tell me some of the people and places, Rosemary, that your career has taken you and people that you've had a chance to perform for.
Oh, my word. Well, the one that's a little controversial right now, I played at Donald Trump's house twice, so that was quite interesting.
Tell us a bit about that.
That was at his home. Yeah, that was at his home, actually, in Mar-a-Lago. Because I did a master's at the University of Miami, so I did a lot of gigs in Florida. But this was actually after I'd moved away already, and an agent called to see if I'd want to play the gig, and it was at his place, Mar-a-Lago. And it was funny, it was at the height of Apprentice when he was firing everybody. And I saw him there, and I was talking to him a little bit, and I said, oh, could I get a picture? And he's like, sure. And then he's like, you better play well. Are you going to be fired? And I'm like, you did not just use your catchphrase on me. But he is the king of branding. I tell you, everything in his place has his logo on it, from the toilet paper to the bottom of a cookie. I flipped it around, and there was chocolate, but with his gold stamp on the bottom. So it's just like branding everywhere. It's unreal.
Pretty cool. I mean, not many people can say that they performed at Donald Trump's home, so that's cool. Who else or places that you've been to? Because I know it's quite a list.
Oh, man. Carnegie Hall 4 times. I was the first violinist to ever play at the Sistine Chapel at the Vatican. And actually recently, The Edge from U2, he claimed to have been the first contemporary artist there, and I actually wrote The Blaze out of New York, and I said, actually, it's not true. I was the first one, because they had given me a scroll and everything, so I got that retracted. But I was the first violinist at the Sistine Chapel as well as St. Peter's Basilica, and I was just back there last week at St. Peter's Basilica, so that was amazing. And yeah, I have played with Marie Osmond and like loads of people, but had some amazing experiences and just feel blessed to be able to travel with my violin I couldn't ask to do anything else in my life. It just brings me a lot of joy, and I love that I can bring other people joy in their lives. So.
Well, that's just it. Yeah, you're bringing so many people joy, and the violin is taking you so many places along with your great voice. And
mm-hmm.
I think you've played at the Opry as well.
I have never played at the Opry, actually. That is my new goal. And it was so funny because I was in Nashville for Americana Fest, and I had two kind of legendary Nashville people on my album, Carl Jackson, who's won Grammy for Best Country Album, and he wrote a song with me as well as was my special guest on there, and as well as Buddy Spiker, who's played he's recorded with Elvis and Willie Nelson and Bob Dylan and you name it.
Oh,
and it was just, I was so honored to have them on the album. And but that, when I was in Nashville, I said, this is my new goal. And my mom told me something funny. She said, when you were 1 year old, that was your first concert that you ever attended, was the Grand Ole Opry. So that's my new goal.
Oh, my goodness.
That's my new Carnegie Hall.
Wow. Do you remember the artist, or did your mom remind you the artist that you saw at the age of one?
She didn't know the artist, but she just said that that was my first concert, which is, I thought was so cool, because I just recently found that out. So.
Wow. Yeah, I think I saw in a YouTube video you were in front of the Opry, and I think that's why I thought maybe you had played there, but I think you were talking about something in the
exactly.
Nashville area.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
cool.
I actually, when we were at Americana Fest, I got to share the stage with Cece Winans, which was so cool because she's such a gospel legend. But I just, when she started singing, it was the Americana Fest brunch, and when she started singing, I just wept because it was just so touching, and I usually don't do that, and I just thought, that is a woman I want to be on stage with, and got to share the stage with her later. So it was very cool.
That is amazing, Rosemary. Speaking of people to share the stage with, do you have, and I'm sure you do, and it's probably a long list, but a sort of a dream list of people you would like to perform on stage with? Maybe you play the violin and they do vocals or a bit of both. Anyone come to mind?
Oh, man. I've always been learning since grade nine. I remember I wrote an English essay and I was on the farm and I was supposed to write an essay for my goals and aspirations. And I remember I wrote to one day play at Carnegie Hall. And at that time, I didn't really even know what Carnegie Hall was. I just heard about it on movies, right? But I've always been one that has made almost unrealistic goals and they've somehow always come into fruition. So I always had this kind of thing in my mind. But I always had this goal, I don't know why, but I've always wanted to play with James Taylor. And so it's not like I always loved his music, but it was just something in my mind that I always knew that I would play with him, but it's never happened yet, but it's always sat in my mind that I would play with him one day, which would be so cool. But some of the goals, I'd love to play on the Ellen Show, and I'd love to play at the White House. Those are some other goals that I've had
nice.
In the past year.
Yeah.
I kind of like making a list of goals each year, and you know, it's an interesting story. My violin was actually stolen about 3 months ago. And
wow.
I was playing a show in Santa Barbara, and I never, never, leave my violin. And I had a friend carry it because I had gear in my hand. We went to the hotel where I had left my stuff for the day, and it was one of these outside-facing doors, so you just open the door and you're outside. And so I went in to get my stuff, and my friend followed me in to help me with my bags. And I went out, and I was maybe a minute, and I went outside, and I saw my wireless box sitting on the ground. I said, "That's weird. Why is my wireless sitting there?" And he goes, "Where's your violin?" I said, "What do you mean, where's my violin?" He goes, "I left it right there." I said, "What?" And I thought he was mistaken. I was like, I ran to my friends. I'm like, "Have you seen my violin? Have you seen my violin?" No one had seen it. And you can imagine, this is like my third arm and my bow. I have a story for that too, but it was so traumatic. And I kind of went into a state of panic, and we called the police. And I called my boyfriend because he had been through this. He's an amazing saxophone player, and he had been through this with his saxophone. He kind of told me, he says, "Okay, go to like liquor store, go to the gas station, go on the street, go just look." And I carry my violin in sparkly cases that I make for my violin. It's like clothing for my violin. So it would be very noticeable. And so I had a gig at 7. I had to leave it on a flight at 7 a.m. for a gig in South Dakota. And I called my mom, who was in Manitoba, and I called her. I think she thought someone had died, and I was just hysterical. And she said she would arrange that she would drive my old violin to my gig. It was about a six-hour drive. And I called the lady that had bought the violin, and she said, "Don't worry." She says, "Write a song about it," or she says, "or somehow you'll get a better violin." She kind of put me at a little bit of ease. But, you know, we were about to leave. I had to go to the airport, and it was about 4 a.m. And I was sitting in the parking lot in my friend's car, and this black SUV rolls up next to me. And he goes, "Hey, are you guys looking for a violin?" I said, "Yeah, actually, we are." I said, "Do you have it?" He goes, "No, I don't have it, but I heard about it at the gas station." And I still don't know how he found us in that parking lot. And my friend goes in, and he says, are you by chance Christian? And he says, "Yeah, I'm a Christian." He says, "Can we pray about this?" And here we are in our car and in his SUV, and we say a prayer together here in the parking lot. I work in the prison ministries. He says, "I'm going to put the word out on the street, and I'm going to give a $2,000 cash reward for it. I'm going to put it on the TV, and I'm going to put it on the radio. We're going to do everything we can to find this violin for you." And I was like, "What?" And I couldn't actually believe what was happening. And I was like, "Thank you so much." He says, "We're going to go to the pawn shops in the morning to put your mind at ease a little bit." And, you know, I went to the airport, and I was completely distraught, but I got to Seattle, my first stop, and they had put an email around the whole hotel to be on the lookout and such like that. And my friend manages the hotel. And I got to my first stop, Seattle, and didn't know, the dread set in because I didn't hear anything. And I was about to leave Seattle, and I get a text message from the manager of the hotel. And she goes, "We have found your violin." She says, a guy in a black hoodie came in, disheveled looking, was not staying at the hotel. He came in, placed my violin on the hotel front desk, and said, "I hear you've been looking for this," and walked out the door. Now, if you can't tell me that's a miracle, I don't know. To me, that's like, you know, and I have I have this song on my album called Have a Little. I think it's just so important to have faith, even when it's like everyone goes through a hard time. You know, for me, this was just, it was super traumatic because that's my mode of expressing mm-hmm. myself. It's my livelihood. It's everything to me, you know. And for that miracle, because, I mean, one person's treasure is another person's junk, right? This guy didn't know what he had taken, and who knows why he brought mm-hmm. it back. Did he feel guilt? Did he get a reward? And I'll probably never know, you know, but it's just, it's such an incredible story now, you know. And I'm just so thankful to have my instrument back, because not only is that violin a treasure, you know, when I was studying at the University of Miami, this bow, there was a guy named Peter Biblis, and him and his wife, he was a retired surgeon, him and his wife were coming to watch some of my concerts. And they came to Switzerland to watch me perform and to just be part of the master classes going on and just to learn and stuff like that. And after one of my performances, he said to me, he says, Rosemary, he says, I'd love to buy a bowl for investment purposes because they go up in value over time. I said, great, we're in the best shop in the world here, right near us in Lausanne here, where I bought my violin. I said, I'll try some bows out for you. So I spent a day trying out bows for him, and I said at the end of the day, I said, Peter, this is the best bow for you. And he goes, you're sure, Rosemary? And I said, yep. And he goes, it's a gift for you. And it was a $15,000 bow. And
wow.
Yeah. He said, he goes, I said, I can't accept it. I can't accept it. And he goes, go thank my wife. He said, it was her idea. He goes, someone helped me through medical school. And he says, I always wanted to return the favor. And, you know, I shared this story recently at a house concert I was playing at. And subsequently, I went to visit them after, like maybe a month or two after. And this lady that owned the house, she goes, you know, Rosemary, I was so touched by that story that I know a 13-year-old kid that is very talented and he doesn't have the money to have an instrument. And he says, and because of your story, I went and bought him an instrument, had an instrument made for him. And so I always have this motto to play it forward. I have this hashtag Rosemary plays it forward. But I think that's what it's all about. You know, I've been blessed with having amazing people around me that have like patrons and like just, but I think it's so important to share these stories so that it inspires others to help musicians, because I think it's really hard being a musician, you know. It's a mm-hmm. seem glamorous, but you're constantly traveling and you're constantly, it's tiring and it's not always what it seems, but as a musician, you wouldn't do anything else. And so, but I think it's important for people to see when people help musicians, and because it used to be like that, there was always patrons helping artists, you know, and I think that bond between maybe people in finance and stuff like that, that there's not a way for them to meet necessarily anymore. And so I think it's very important for people to see the value in that still. And so that connection can be made. And it was so special for me to have witnessed that first day forward, that it did actually mm-hmm. play itself forward, you know? So cool.
That is amazing. Amazing to see the power of music, but to the power of connection and playing it forward. I mean, it's just such it's so inspirational, Rosemary.
Oh, yeah. I think that's what it's all about. You know, I think everyone can do something to help somebody else, whether it be sharing a contact, whether it being helping someone financially, whether it be buying instruments. For me, what I can do is I can play for people to make them feel better. And so I do what I can, and I think it's important that everyone do their part so that you just make the world a little happier.
I love that. Well, let's turn to some music that'll make our listeners a lot happier, and then we'll come back. We have lots more to talk about. From her album, Plum Coulee, My Home, this is Rosemary Siemens, Rosemary and the Sweet Sound Revival. The song is Have a Little Faith on In the Country.
Have a little faith. Let's be thankful for this tender moment. See past the darkest days. Oh, have a little faith. Let's take a little time. It's so hard to breathe and see the silver light. But once you let it go, you'll find your peace of mind. Oh, if you take a little time. All we have is what we have, what comes tomorrow, only heaven knows. Oh, and even your light shine bright and let it go. And let it go. Have a little faith. Let the spirit be the lighthouse in the rain. Trust the light will guide you to a better place. Oh, have a little faith.
And that is Rosemary and the Sweet Sound Revival. You can get the album at iTunes. It is called Plum Coulee, My Home. And that song is Have a Little Faith. We have another cool song coming up later on in the show called Barefoot and Bling. And that's a fun song. Your album of these 13 songs, it's bluegrass, but there's some other kind of sounds going on in there. You have various influences. Can you talk about, Rosemary, the music, the different types of music you connect with?
Wow. You know what? I grew up playing hymns in churches. That's actually, you know, and I grew up singing a lot of three parts. I have a lot of three part on the album. That's why I called it the Sweet Sound Revival, because I just love three part harmony and I wanted to bring that back and just have that beautiful harmony on there. And but you know what, I did my master's in classical music, so I have a lot of that. I think that's what's a little different about my album as well, because I improvise everything I do, but I think that a lot of fiddle playing and bluegrass playing is very different than how I play. It's a different mode of playing. It's much more sustained and much in the way I bring my classical into that. So it has a little bit of that soul of classical, brings a different sound to the album as well. So I think, yeah, I think that changes the sound as well.
Now, this question I've asked people before, and it probably to you it's a silly question, but some people might want to know the difference between a violin and a fiddle. My understanding is it's the exact same instrument, just the way it's played makes it one or the other. Is that true?
Yeah, that's exactly true.
Okay.
A lot of people would say, what's the difference between a violin and a fiddle? They'd say probably $50,000. But
good answer.
But no, you're exactly right. It's just the way it's played. It's the style in which it's played. And so, you know, in my song, Priceless on the album, it's about my violin, and you know, I talk about it being a violin and kind of turning into a fiddle, because it's, and literally in my shows I'll be kind of go from a violinist to a fiddler, and yeah, it's just the way you play it.
Very cool. Do you have violin heroes yourself, or even music heroes in general, Rosemary, that you look up to and maybe have inspired you over the years?
Oh man. Yeah, classical violinist. I mean, but I always kind of, in terms of, I think this genre, I love Alison Krauss, and that's kind of what I wanted to model myself after a little about my career, is that I can go from being a soloist. Last Christmas, we did it, my pianist and I did a tour with the Winnipeg Symphony as soloists, to going and playing like a bluegrass gig. And I think, I don't know, I've just been inspired by so many types of music in my life that I grew up listening to ABBA, and like I love ABBA, and I love, you know, just, and I think that's the funnest thing about what I do is that I can just use my violin as a tool and go and jam with every different style, and that's what I love about what I do, you know. And I especially love this album because I grew up, it's what's closest to my heart, and I'm a country girl by heart, and I grew up listening to gospel and to country, and so it's just a mix of that and just what I have in my ear and in my heart, really.
There's a violinist named Joshua Bell, and I'm sure you've heard of him, Rosemary.
Yes, of course, yeah.
Now, the reason I bring up his name is because I had a cool interview with a country music group called Diamond Rio, who, of course, were huge in the 90s and 2000s and still do great stuff. And they've got a song on one of their latest albums called Walking by Beauty. And it's the writers who wrote that song took it from that real-life story when Joshua Bell was playing his violin in the subway station. And I guess people passed mm-hmm. him by for whatever reason because I guess the context of a subway station, and I think that was the whole test of it. But this beautiful song called Walking by Beauty, and it features the violin in the song.
Oh, that's so cool. I know, I love that story. And I think it's just so true because it's all in how something is set up and how it's perceived and how what kind of stage it's placed on. It's unfortunate but I truly, that story with Joshua Bell I think it's so real in today's world because if you don't have the right stage and the right lighting and the right everything, it's hard for people to get past that because it's all in how it's set up. And I feel like it's in today's age, I think that also because the training isn't there as much anymore, like in Europe and stuff, you still have the culture for instruments, but it's not as valued anymore here. So I think people's ears aren't as trained either anymore. And so they can't hear the difference between really high level playing and mediocre. I don't know. I feel like it's not so refined as it used to be. That's what I feel.
Interesting. Now, let's talk about Carl Jackson, because, of course, you collaborated with him on this album. Tell me the role he played and just how he inspired you on the project.
Oh, my gosh. You know, Mike Reno from Loverboy, he and his wife, Catherine St. Germain, Catherine was really instrumental in I played with her family. They're quite famous in Manitoba, and I did a show with them. And afterwards, she said to me, she says, are you writing in Nashville and all? And I said, actually, no, I don't really know anyone in Nashville. And she said, I got the guy you got to write with. He's the best in bluegrass. And she called up Carl, and she showed him my website, and she said to him, would you want to write with Rosemary? And he said, I'd love to. So, it's right when my violin had been stolen. And so I called him up, and I said, you know, I'm going to save this story to write with you. And when I got together with him, we sat together and we just started talking. We both found we had a huge love for hymns. And so the first thing we did was for half an hour, we just played hymns together, him on guitar and me on violin, and just kind of bonded through that. And then we wrote this song, Priceless, about my violin. And it was so special. What a talented man he is. And, you know, it's funny because after doing that, I just thought, man, I'd love to have him on the album. And he's an amazing banjo player as well. He played banjo on the album as well as guitar. And, you know, how the whole album came to be, I had done a song in the Sweet By and By. I played it in a wheat field as my dad was coming behind me in the swather. And a lot of people just started sharing this and sharing this and sharing this. And I had just gone to church and I was out for lunch with my boyfriend, and he says, you know what? He says, I feel like that is your audience. That's your home. That's your audience. These people from the country, and people are just clinging to that and loving it and sharing it. And he says, I think you should do a bluegrass album. That's how this all came. And he says, and it's authentic to you because you grew up with that sound, and you should write and you should sing. And I thought, okay.
Incredible.
And so that's where that all came. That's how it started. I know, over sushi. How funny, right? And he says, you should kind of be the Alison Krauss. You should be the Alison Krauss of Canada. That's what he said. And
yeah.
I was such a fan of Alison. And so I sat there and I thought, okay. So it was in the Sweet By and By that I played. And so I had done this writing session with Carl Jackson. And at the end of it, I said, Carl, I'd love to have you on the album. And he said, I'd love to. So the banjo tracks we sent to him, and he played on them. And then I came back to do my duet with Buddy Spiker and to do the solo with Carl. I came to Nashville. And we had just said, you know, let's do a hymn the way we first started meeting. Let's recreate that because that was so special to us. He texted me. He says, and we're talking what song to do. And I said, well, do you have any suggestions? And then he says, why don't we do In the Sweet By and By? And it was so full circle for me because that's the song that started this whole project, and that's the last thing that we recorded for the album was, and it's the last thing put on the album. It's song track 13. And so the whole thing came full circle from that song starting the album to finishing the album. And it wasn't even my idea. And I just, to do that song, and it, that just to me just kind of put like, you're on the right path, and just this is what you're supposed to be doing, you know. It just was very, very special to me.
Amazing. It seems like you have these great moments of things coming full circle, you know, the violin that was returned to you and the song here. So, and I think it sounds like you, those moments not only happen to you, Rosemary, but you're very aware of them. They don't sort of go by you without you noticing they're there.
No, definitely. I'm so appreciative of all those opportunities. I think it's very important to be thankful and to notice where they come from and be aware of that. And I think it's very important. But I have had those kind of serendipitous moments a lot in my life. And, you know, even the lady that I live with that bought the violin for me, you know, she's been kind of a sponsor, or not a sponsor, but a kind of a patron to me in even living in beautiful places in Vancouver. Thanks to her, you know, she's allowed me to be able to do what I love. And that's kind of followed me in life. And my parents have always been supportive. My mom started me at violin and piano at 3. She was a music teacher, and my dad was a church choir director. And, you know, from them, I was just in Italy last week, and they came, and they come wherever they can, and they support me in my music. And I think it's invaluable to have parents like that, because it's hard to do what you do if you don't have that support. And I'm just so thankful to have that, you know.
It's amazing. It's amazing to have all that, and of course to appreciate it is just the greatest thing. You did a version that's online of Hallelujah, of course, the great Leonard Cohen's tune, and he passed away very recently. One of his masterpieces, probably his biggest song, although he obviously has an extensive catalog, but that's the one people really connect with. What does the song Hallelujah mean to you, and when you performed it, you know, can you tell us how you felt? It's so beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, I did that with my pianist. I have a duo called Brian Rosemary, where we do more classical and pop kind of influence things. And we met through playing with the Canadian tenors and then Guto Caldestino. And we did a solo in our show, as always, with the tenors. And it was Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah. And I remember we did it like some 26 times in a month on a tour through Quebec. And that kind of became our signature song, and we ended up doing a music video for it. And I just noticed as of late, because we did this music video and because he passed away, this has been getting a lot of, I think we almost have 100,000 views on it now. And it's just, to us, that's kind of our signature song. And when I played at the Vatican last week, we did that at the Ambassador of Rome's house overlooking St. Peter's Square. And it was just kind of surreal, and it's kind of become our anthem. And that's one of the closest songs to my heart. And I just love that song, and so sorry about his passing. Wish I could have met him.
Yeah, such a deep guy. I've been a fan of his for years, as many people are, and love his music and his lyrics and just the deepness of what he did and the genuineness, the kind of person he was.
Totally.
Let's turn to another song from the album. This one's called Barefoot and Bling, and we've got bling in there, of course, because you like the shiny things in life. You like many things, but including the shiny things. Your violin is named Sparkle. But tell us about Barefoot and Bling. There's also a cool video for it as well.
Yeah, this song is probably like the closest thing to my diary, because I always love sparkly things, as I said, but I'm from the farm and I love the simple things in life, and I love just like saying hi to your neighbor and people waving in the truck when you pass. But my pianist Roy once came to my farm, and we live on a century farm. My dad is 79 years old and he still farms almost 2,000 acres, and with my brother. And so my pianist came, and he saw me, and I was in a blinged out dress, I was barefoot, and I was driving a pickup truck, and he goes, "Now I really get who you are." He's like, "You're this like down to earth small town girl, but just love the city and love adventure and love everything like that." And so I thought, why not write a song about the dichotomy of my two worlds, you know, from starting to travel at a very young age. And I remember I traveled with the Mennonite Children's Choir. We went to Asia and to Israel and all over the place at a very young age, and started my love of food, shopping, meeting people, and just getting that vibe of traveling. And but yet, when it comes down to it, the things that are most important are like family and home and just. And so I just wanted to capture that. And fun shooting the music video. It was a crazy time when we shot it because I was just about to do my CD launch in Plum Coulee for Plum Fest, and I got the album literally days before, and I showed it to my video guy in Vancouver, and he's like, this is the song we have to capture in a music video. And I was like, what? I'm like, the week is only going to be on the field for like a week more. So literally I put together a crew of 25 people to shoot this video, and we did it as I was planning for my CD release, and we did it in about 2 days. I flew the guy out, Lux, he flew from Vancouver, and we had drones and we had everything, and we shot this amazing video in my hometown. And it's so cool because you see my town, you see our farm, and you see my parents in it, and it just captures the essence of the beauty of my home and the beauty of small town living and the beauty of just like, I don't know, just everything that's close to my heart. So I'm just very proud of that video.
That is amazing, and our listeners can either go to YouTube or rosemarysiemens.me, your website, and check out the video. But let's hear the song now. This is Barefoot and Bling from Rosemary and the Sweet Sound Revival on In the Country.
Her daddy is a farmer. She grew up on the land. Simple way of life is all that she could understand. But something was inside her when she was 17. Saw the million lights, she didn't feel alone. She welcomed in a brand new life and found her second home. She likes to go barefoot. Nothing there has changed. The fields of golden wheat will be harvested again. She loves her time with family, those lonely, lazy days. But there are opportunities she's missing if she stays. The trail of sequins follows her. She heads back to the crowds. She can't have two different worlds. Who says it's not allowed? She likes to go barefoot.
And that is Rosemary and the Sweet Sound Revival. The album is called Plum Coulee, My Home, named after Plum Coulee, Manitoba, the hometown of Rosemary Siemens. And it's 13 tracks of her debut bluegrass album, and it's just wonderful. The album available at iTunes. And she plays a violin from the year 1714. Incredible. As you said before, Rosemary, playing that violin, you're very aware of the musical history and maybe just how many people have played it over the years.
Totally. And, you know, my dream is to one day have a live show. And kind of a movie and live show experience with full orchestra and telling the story of the violin from like a tree to today and all the genres. I think it would be so interesting to kind of just, you'd have to create it, but create who has touched that violin, how it has inspired people, and the journey and the travels. Like, it's probably been through wars and like everything like that, but I think it would be so special to almost put like a Broadway show together about the violin.
Sounds incredible. I'm sure that's another thing you'll add to your list of things you accomplish, including performing with James Taylor one day, which would be so cool. And wish you all the best, Rosemary. And it was great to chat on the show and, of course, great to share some of your songs.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time and sharing my music, and hope everyone enjoys it as much as I enjoyed making it.
That is awesome. I know we've won you over some new fans, and I hope they head to iTunes to check out the album Plum Coulee, My Home. My guest has been Rosemary Siemens. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
In my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.